Well, listen now to another song, a song from the Old Testament, Psalm 92. It is a song for the Sabbath day, which for those of you who were raised in the ARP church know that's today. Today is the Sabbath day. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, and to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know. The stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass, and all the evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For your enemies, O Lord, for your enemies shall perish, and all evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You have poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. God is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace from God to you whom we've come to know in Jesus of Nazareth. Before I begin this homily today, I need to tell you this one important piece. That when I sat down with Chris many months ago to talk about working at Morningside Church, we talked on about the different things that might be under my aegis, but I was quite explicit about one thing. I told him I would do almost anything he wanted me to do, but I would not preach. Now, the learning from that experience today could be, one, do not listen when Chris says, no problem, not to worry. Or two, music will get you into trouble. For this is a chance to say a word or two about the church in liturgy and in song. To be a part of the worship service where there is more singing than speaking. I like that. So my focus this morning is on the Psalms, and especially Psalm 92 that we have just heard together. The Old Testament repeatedly gives testimony to the fact that the glory of God is primarily reflected in the praise of Israel. Let me say that again. The glory of God is primarily reflected in the praise of Israel, so that one can say today, the glory of God is primarily reflected in the praise of the church. And it is most often done in song, though also in spoken liturgy. The truth is that our coming to worship each Sabbath day is, as the old song says, it is to give God the glory, glory, glory. You remember that one at Smyrna. That is what the angels did in Bethlehem that night. They sang about the glory of God in giving us a Savior. For it is here that the sovereignty of God is given language and structure. It is here that the power and majesty of the Lord are uncovered and made visible. That is what we've been doing for the last 15 to 20 minutes. And the Psalms, or the songs of Israel, are the most elemental structure of our faith. These are the foundation stones. I think that is because when we are very, very old, we remember the songs we sang as a youth, and they become the foundations of our faith. I have a friend who lives in Lynbrook Plaza, and she's probably getting close to 80. She says, "I'm not memorizing the scripture, I'm memorizing the hymns, because that's what I'll remember when I no longer can count to 10 or do anything else." But she's learning the great hymns of the church. That is what we know. They are the deep inside of ourselves. We know that they are the foundation stones. Whether they are laments, which says, "God, why are you doing this?" or they are songs of praise. Praise is language to God, about God, elicited out of our human experience. We know that there is a continuum about praise. At one end is praise, at the other end is supplication. And we go back and forth across that continuum. Not different elements, but one and the same thing. That we know that in morning worship, in all the parts that we do, we are going back and forth. But most often we begin and end with praise. It is a primal speech for us, this matter of praise. Even though both are present in our worship, our movement is always upward and to the praise of the living God. Even when lament is on our lips, it is because we trust that the Lord God of hosts can hear our cry and do something about it. If you don't ever lament to God, you believe God is a helpless God and cannot deal with this matter that you are lamenting about. Now, Psalm 92 is a great example of that. It reads like this. It just begins. "It is good to give thanks and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." God, you are the God of God, and we're going to sing thanks and praise to you. We will do it in the morning, in your steadfast love, and we'll do it again in the evening out of your faithfulness. Morning and evening, we're going to give thanks to you. "It is good to use the lute and the harp," the psalmist says, "and the lyre, and even Walter Huff at the organ," the psalm says. "We will sing praises to you, O God. God, you have made us glad with your work. You are some builder. And we will sing about that. You know a lot, O God." That's what the psalmist says. But there's one problem here. The stupid do not understand. And God, the wicked seem to be flourishing. They sprout like grass. Don't you love the metaphors of the pup? I mean, I wish my grass was sprouting these days, but it isn't. But because I've been watching the Joneses down the street, they seem to flourish. And it feels like they're your enemies. And why are they flourishing? And then comes the climax of the poem, when the poet says, "But you, O Lord, are on high forever." Say that with me. "But you, O Lord, are on high forever." Don't forget that verse. That is the climax of Psalm 92. Now the poet turns with a flourish and turns another metaphor. Count the number of metaphors in this psalm. It's amazing. Now he's talking about palm trees. He says, "The righteous are going to flourish like a palm tree. They grow as big as the cedars of Lebanon." I want to tell you, I've seen one cedars of Lebanon, and they are huge trees. "And they'll grow in God's house because you, God, are mighty. Why, in old age, they'll still produce fruit, green and full of sap. And if you're getting up in years," I won't discuss who is and who isn't, "you will be delighted that there's fruit and green and sap about you," right? This God that we worship is upright. This God, the poet ends, "is my rock." You can't get any stronger than that. So from this psalm, what do we learn about God? Thanksgiving and praise to the one who is above all. Morning and evening, we learn about God's steadfast love and faithfulness. This God, whom we worship, whom we came today in morning worship, is strong. This is a song of praise for the Sabbath day. Now, what rabbis tell us about the Sabbath day is that it is a glimpse into the future brought to the present that speaks of a time when it will always be Sabbath. It will always be Sabbath. If you want to know what it's going to be like, glimpse this when you are at worship in praising God. It is a foretaste of the end time, a final Sabbath rest for God and for us. So we can sing, when in our music God is glorified, and adoration leaves no room for pride. It is as though the whole creation cried, Alleluia, Alleluia. So has the church in liturgy and in song, in faith and love through centuries of wrong, borne witness to the truth in every tongue, Alleluia. Let every instrument be tuned for praise. Let all rejoice who have a voice to raise. And may God give us faith to sing always. Alleluia. We come in here to sing praises and to worship this mighty God. And we go out to be the church, to feed the poor, to care for the sorrowing, and to reach out to those who are in need. Thanks be to God for such a God as this. Amen.